Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hi, and welcome to Simply Holy, where we uncomplicate holiness with Mary as our mentor. I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, and today's show is all about understanding why God has led you to where you are today. I'll give you a preview of the show. Today on the show, first, we're going to look at Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 45. And what is that verse? It is, "For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Then we're going to become honorary Israelites coming up out of our personal land of Egypt. So we're going to be Israelites for today. And then finally, we're going to apply what we've learned to daily life. So before we dig into the show, let me express my gratitude to you for your support and your prayers, for your help in spreading word about the show, and for helping me to lead the world to Christ through Mary. That's my mission, to lead the world to Christ through Mary. Now let's begin by praying. Let's pray together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together today in this podcast. We thank also our Mother Mary for urging me to speak and nudging you to listen to today's show. Thank you, dear Mother Mary. And then, Mother Mary, we pray for open hearts and minds so that we may savor the message that Christ, your Son, and you have for us today. In Jesus' name, through Mary's intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, our topic for today, to review, we are digging into the idea of understanding why God has led you to where you are today. Do you ever wonder about that? I think a lot of us do. I do all the time. Why has God led you to where you are today? Again, I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, and we have a fascinating show today as we look into our own personal Egypts. Our own personal Egypts. So first let's look again at Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. You know, in the daily mass readings, if you're listening to this relatively close to the date it was published, we've been following the Israelites on their journey from Egypt into the wilderness. And we're witnessing them time and again complaining, quite frankly, about the conditions during their journey. You know, they don't have this, they don't have that, no food, no water. It was better before. We were happier in Egypt. In Egypt, we had all of these wonderful, all this produce and meat and so on. And so we're following this during the mass readings of the day. But even if you're not listening to this in the same time frame, that's all right, because if you've not been following the daily mass readings, you're going to still get a lot out of this podcast, because we're looking at that passage, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. "For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." You see, it's all about holiness, isn't it? It's all about holiness. That's why we're here talking together today. Well, you have these Israelites, and what happened there? They were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. They were worked to death in many cases. It was a very, very bad situation. They are freed with the help of Moses, his instrumentality in listening to God and following his direction. So they're freed, and they are looking toward the promised land. But here's the thing. So they had hardship in Egypt. They had hardships. It was rough. It was rough for them in Egypt, yes? But it also was rough during that journey to the promised land. They experienced hardships. Once they were freed from slavery, it wasn't a cakewalk. You know, they had to go through a lot on that journey. And so they complain. They complain, "We were better off before. Why'd you bring us out into this wilderness?" Go through those passages, Book of Numbers, Leviticus, that whole story of the Israelites. It's pretty amazing, and it's actually, I personally think it's a fun read to follow the history of the Israelites. You see, here's the thing. They failed to see the benefits. The Israelites failed to see the benefits both of their time in Egypt and the benefits of these hardships that they were experiencing on the journey. Now, how in the world could they have experienced any benefits from being slaves in Egypt? Well, if you notice, they didn't lose their faith when they were in Egypt. In turn, it made them more dependent upon God, which is exactly how it should be for all of us, to be completely dependent on God. They failed to realize that. It also made them stronger and more resolved to leave Egypt when Moses invited them, urged them to follow him. They learned a lot during that time in Egypt. They were strengthened. They were brought closer to God. I can only guess this now. I don't know this for a fact, but I would bet that they became closer as families, closer as a people. I would see, or at least what I see when I look at those readings, those passages of Scripture, it seems to me that the Israelites had a stronger identity as the people of God because of that slavery in Egypt. You see, they fail to see the benefits. And they fail to see the benefits of the hardships they were experiencing on their journey. Because again, it's all about holiness. It's all about holiness. God says, "For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." All of it, the hardships in Egypt, the hardships on the journey, it was all meant to bring them closer to God and to help make them holy. Why? Why do we want to be holy? Why would the Israelites have wanted to be holy? So that we could all spend eternity with God. You can't get there without holiness. You can't get there without holiness. So, what is your personal Egypt? Remember I said that we're going to be honorary Israelites for the day. So your personal Egypt, and what I mean by that is there probably was at least once, and perhaps even right now, you're experiencing this situation that you're a slave to. You know, you're a slave to this situation. You're a slave to the misery it has brought or is bringing upon you. You're a slave to the uncertainty that you experienced or are experiencing now. That's a slavery. That's your Egypt. You're in Egypt. You're being held captive by a situation that is hard. It's wrought with hardship. Okay? And then God brings you up out of Egypt, like he did with the Israelites. Think of a time when you were stuck in one of those, you were a slave to a situation, couldn't get out of it, didn't know how to change it, and then God brings you up out of it. He brings you up out of it. He brings you up out of Egypt. And then what do you do? What do we all do as human nature? We complain. Do we not? We complain. How dare we? I know I've done this in my life. Beyond a doubt, I have done this in my life. So let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. Perhaps it was a prolonged illness. Hard, yes? Hard, hard times. A lot of hardship. Very sick for a very long time. Or maybe it wasn't a very long time, but you were just very, very sick for a certain duration of time. And then as you recover, and you're getting back into your normal life, don't you kind of long for that stillness that you had when you were sick or disabled? You know, because now you're back into real life and you've got all these expectations, and you've got, for me, it's deadlines and people to answer to and people to minister to. And, you know, the temptation for me is to think to myself, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, how did I ever, oh, this is awful. This is awful. I'm so busy now. I have so much to do. I have so much to catch up on. Yeah, that's just like the Israelites coming up out of Egypt. Oh, we were better off before. Maybe it's a relocation. And this one's hard. And again, I've been there. A relocation to another city, maybe another country or another part of the country, and maybe it's just to another home. And even though you're glad to be in this promised land, you still kind of miss certain things about the Egypt. So you miss home, you miss the way your life, the way it was, you miss the friends that you had there. You miss the way that you would do things on a day-to-day basis because your routine likely is different. So you miss that, and so you long again to be back in Egypt, and you complain about being on the journey to the promised land. Now, this definitely happened to me some years ago when we had to move from our home, a home that we loved very much. We had a couple of kids by that time, and we had to move because, it's a long story, but we were kind of crowded out of our neighborhood by serious crime, and it was no longer safe for us to stay there. And so this home that we had loved, we had worked on, we made it perfect. We had redone some remodeling. We loved it. We loved everything about it. We loved the way the rooms were situated, on and on. I think you get the picture. And then we moved to an area that was safer and more family friendly for our children, but the house wasn't the same. The house wasn't the same. We weren't near the things, the places that we normally frequented. So everything was a drive away from us. And the new house needed lots and lots of work. It was the only way we could afford to move is to get they called it a handyman special. And I dare to say it might have been a handyman disaster because it required tons and tons of fixing. Tons and tons and tons of fixing. So I complained. I complained and I cried and I tantrumed and I was just so very upset because a lot of these things we didn't discover until after we had moved in to the house. You know, it's only once you live in a house that you realize its real flaws that had been masked before, even though we had it inspected by a building inspector. It was just one thing after another. The water heater went out shortly after we moved in. We had major plumbing issues. We had major electrical issues. We had, oh goodness, on and on. It was just a lot. Just take my word for it. And I complained. I absolutely did not like the new house one bit. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. Through the grace of God, I finally stopped my crying and complaining. Because we had kids. We had these three children, and shortly after moving in, we had our fourth. Well, we have these kids, and it's not good for mom to go running around complaining and talking about how much we hate the house we live in, because that influences the children. So I realized I had to change my attitude fast, and my husband and I rolled up our sleeves, and we dug in, and we got the house in shape. Still working on it, but it's not perfect, but we came a long way. But here's what we discovered. Once I stopped worrying about this new house and stopped longing for Egypt, longing for the old house, and just put my mind to it and realized, no, this is where God wants us. And we were convinced that this was the house God wanted us to be in, because we did prayers and we asked for signs and so forth. But what we discovered was, hands down, our children were happier, much, much happier. We discovered a parish we loved. And more than that, we discovered, so we live, and you know, if you follow my social media, you see very, very often I post about my walks along the shore of Lake Michigan. We're very close to Lake Michigan. To the shore of Lake Michigan, and there are beautiful paths and parkways along the entire stretch here along the shore of Lake Michigan. And I have come to find such peace and such closeness to God on those paths as I walk along the shore of Lake Michigan. It's almost a daily ritual for myself. And it was, you know, for the kids, sometimes when they would come, or even just me alone or my husband and I. But that is where I have found the space and the beauty to come closer to God. Now, if we lived in that other house, I never would have discovered that. I hardly ever was down by the lake when we lived in the other house, because it was far away from the lake. And here I am, I can walk from my house to the lake and along the path and be blessed again and again and again. I complained when I was brought up out of Egypt. And that hardship There's so much to learn from that time when we were living in the other house. And that's a whole nother podcast. I could go on and on about that, and I don't want to right now. Maybe your Egypt is a bad relationship. One you were in, maybe one you're in presently. And we know this from, well, from studies, so, you know, studying society, but we know it in our own hearts. You know, no matter how bad a relationship is, when it ends, whether you're the one who ended it or the other person, there's always a sense of missing. There's a loss there. And then we long for that relationship or that person to be restored in our lives. But if we look at that, and we appreciate the gift that it was, maybe it was really a bad relationship, but God puts these, he draws us into Egypt. Why? To help us become holy. So that Egypt, that relationship, there was something very important that you had to learn from. It made you stronger and wiser, more compassionate toward others. And that coming out of the slavery, that coming out of Egypt, surely was difficult. And surely you were at least tempted to complain. But that hardship also is part of your becoming holy, strengthening you and preparing you for the promised land that God has in store for you. So, three examples of what your personal Egypt might be like. Now, how do we apply this to our daily lives? Well, you know, it's one of those easier said than done, but I think I can simplify that for you. Simply holy. This is what we're all about. I can simplify that for you in five steps. All right? So first, stop complaining. Bring yourself to stop complaining about being brought up out of Egypt. All right? And then, number two, discover what you learned or how you grew while you were in your personal Egypt. And the fourth, look to our mentor, our Blessed Mother Mary. Because what is that one statement that echoes in our heads about her? Well, there are probably many, but she pondered these things in her heart. Remember that? It's said in a few different ways in the scripture. So be like her. You ponder these things in your heart. Ponder what you gained from your time in Egypt and what you are gaining now once you are on your journey to the promised land. Ponder these things in your heart and let God speak to you through them. And then I recommend that you make a daily act of gratitude, especially if you're struggling to stop complaining. All right. So yes, stop complaining, but then do the opposite action. Well, it's maybe not quite opposite, but make an act of gratitude. So purposely, every day, make it a point to thank God for one thing that you learned, that you gained from your time in Egypt, or one thing that you are gaining now after having been brought up out of Egypt. And then finally, as always, ask Mary's intercession. Ask her intercession to help you along. So as we go through our next week, let's remember to appreciate your time in Egypt. Be grateful God has brought you up out of it. look forward to what he has in store for you in the promised land. This is our resolution for the next week. Well, time is up. It's time to close the show, and it's been wonderful. I love doing this and reaching out to you. I'm so grateful that you've listened, that you've tuned in today. If you'd like to know more about me, become part of my ministry, subscribe to my newsletter, or invite me to speak, please visit my website, margefenlon.com, margefenlon.com. There you can find out how to email me. You can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. It's all there on my website, margefenlon.com. Before you go, I ask that you please help me to bring the world to Christ through Mary by sharing this podcast with people in your life. People need to hear these things, not just you or I. There are others. So please share this podcast with the people in your life. Simply holy. And it really is simply holy. Thanks for listening. Until soon, let's remember that the only thing stopping us from becoming holy are the excuses we make for not pursuing it. May God bless you and our Mother Mary protect and guide you. Thank you, friends. Until soon.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.